Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of Elijah. And we're in the New Testament now, just sort of looking at where he is mentioned. And we're seeing some intriguing things because he's used as an example by several folks in the New Testament. And what we're going to look at today is in the Gospel of Luke in the 4th chapter, Jesus mentions him again. And you learn a lot about Elijah, but you see also what the Lord was trying to tell us in the life of Elijah and sort of the context by using him as an example for some things. And so remember why we're looking at this to begin with. We saw in the book of James that Elijah was a man like us, and he prayed fervently, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and then he prayed and it did rain. And the whole point is Elijah was being used as an example of the power of fervent prayer, the effective nature of fervent prayer by someone who is righteous. So here's Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Listen to this. You'll be familiar with this account. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written. So now this is Jesus reading from Isaiah, Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And Jesus closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So he says this, okay, today this has been fulfilled. When you go back to Isaiah and look at that scripture, you find out that he literally stopped in the middle of a sentence. The things that he said right here, or the things that he fulfilled when he came the first time, to preach the gospel to the poor, proclaim release to the captive, to recover his sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. The balance of what Isaiah prophesied will be fulfilled when he comes again. So he sits down, he says, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. The next verse says this, and all were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? Now this is nearly a little parenthetical thought. What is happening here is Luke is letting us know what the situation was, how people were feeling. People were speaking well of Jesus. They were wondering at his gracious words, okay? They were falling from his lips. And they're all going, hey, isn't this Joseph's son? We know who this is. So now Joseph's son, who they were speaking so well of, stands up, reads the scripture, and says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. What we're about to see is that their attitude is going to change greatly, okay? Verse 23, and Jesus said to them, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. So he says, no doubt what you're going to do is you're going to say, hey, we've heard you've been doing these things over in this other part. Why aren't you doing it here? You know, heal yourself, prove yourself here. Verse 24, and he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. So he's letting them know that he knows what the true nature of their heart is. And he says, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. He continues, verse 25, but I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. Oh, well, here's Elijah being mentioned again, okay? So you remember the account when the Lord sent Elijah to a widow to be provided for. Okay, the drought had come, and the creek had dried up where the ravens had been bringing Elijah bread and meat. Now there's no more water. And the Lord says, okay, get up and go visit in the land of Sidon, which is not in the land of Israel, the widow. So Elijah got up. Now listen to what Jesus said. There were widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land. By the way, that is Jesus confirming and affirming the word of God that it was a historical event that took place. And Jesus acknowledges that. Verse 26, and yet Elijah was sent to none of them. In other words, Elijah was not sent back to his homeland to the widow, but verse 26, only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And so what Jesus is saying is that these things that we view as being miraculous, these mighty moves of God, were taking place outside of Judaism, were taking place outside of the land of Israel. And Jesus is using this as an example of how the people who know you best, your hometown, will reject you. He says no prophet is welcome in his own hometown. And then he uses the example of Elijah. Well, the people had been speaking well of him. They were one man, just one loved his gracious words that were falling from his lips, saying, is this not Joseph's son? And there's a couple ways to interpret that. There's a question, is this not Joseph's son? You can say it questioning. I have a feeling that in your hometown kind of thing, they knew this is Joseph's son. So they weren't sitting there saying, hey, is this his son? They're doing it in a rather braggadocious kind of way. Is this not Joseph's son? Isn't this one of our own? Aren't we a wonderful, marvelous people to be able to raise up such a fine prophet who has these gracious words? Watch your attitude now. Verse 28, when he finished saying this about Elijah and about Elisha, and all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. As they heard what things? Well, as they heard the thing that where he says, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That would have sent the religious leadership off the edge. When he said quoted the proverb where he said, surely you're going to quote this to me, physician, healed yourself. When he's told them that no prophet is welcome in his hometown, that he knew how they were acting and behaving. And then he used the example of Elijah and Elisha to show how God is moving outside of Judaism, outside of Israel, because of their lack of faith. They are enraged. So what do they do? Last two verses. Verse 29. They got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city has been built in order to throw him down the cliff. They drove him and led him to the top of a cliff to shove him over the cliff to kill him, because they could defend that from the Old Testament, because they considered it to be blasphemy to say that today this was fulfilled. But then this great little powerful verse, verse 30, but passing through their midst, he went his way. He allowed himself to be led and carried all the way up to the precipice, all the way up to the cliff, and then he passed through their midst. Why was that? Well, it wasn't his time yet. He was able just to pass through. You'll see another place in Scripture where he's captured in the temple, but then he passes through their midst. The Lord protects him. He just walked away. You know, I believe that God does the same thing for us. If it's not our time, we can pass through the midst and go our way. This is all out of Luke chapter 4. Before you lay down tonight, go read it. I think the Lord will speak something serious to you, okay? Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time, and I'll see you next time. Goodbye.